5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Rather a lengthy reading, but we cannot look at ourselves or judge ourselves, make an assessment of self by how society analyzes mankind.
Amen.
We don't have the ability to actually see ourselves as we actually are.
Right.
Jeremiah says very plainly that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Yeah.
And none can know it. None of us can actually know our own heart. Now, unlike it is when my wife puts on a new dress and says, "How do you like it?" And I may kind of hedge my bets about my answer. The Lord comes right out and tells us what we're like.
Amen. Yeah.
And we need to know exactly what we're like.
Mm-hmm.
Or else we will not be able to appreciate
right.
what has been done for us.
Right. Right.
And therefore, to see ourselves as we are will actually enable us to love Him for what He has done.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And this passage is declaring to us, as black as it is, the way we are in nature, so that we can see what has been done for us in Christ. Several years ago, my wife lost her setting out of her ring. And we went home from church that Wednesday night, and when we got home, she said, "The diamond is out of my engagement ring." Well, I went back to the parking lot, as any good husband would, I suppose, and crawled on my hands and knees from the front door to the car and went up and down the aisles of the building, and we looked in the car, and it was gone. So for months, I kept saying, "I need to get you another ring." And she kept saying, "I don't want another ring. I want the one I had." Well, several months after that, she was going to be driving the car, and so I took the vacuum to sweep the car, and all of a sudden, but I didn't really know, something was sucked up the vacuum that sparkled. Well, I hated to do it. I didn't want to do it. In fact, I thought of not doing it, but I did take the vacuum bag out, open it up on a garbage bag I had opened up. And there, through the dog hair and the old, dirty Cheerios that the grandkids had dropped and everything else, piece by piece, I went through the filth and I found a diamond.
Yeah, right.
And friends, the joy of finding that diamond was worth every amount of filth that I had seen. And it's difficult to see the filth of what we are. But the joy of the diamond of the truth of God's amazing grace undergirds everything we possibly need in this world. Now, this is truth that is declared by a God that does not lie. This is a God who knows all things from the beginning and has declared them even before they were done. And He speaks truth that will not be changed though heaven and earth pass away. His Word will never pass away. And so when we read what's before us, it is absolute and unchangeable. And the Savior Himself, when He was upon this earth, when He spoke, it was with such clarity that those that were around Him would even declare that He spoke with authority, and they were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as authority and not as the scribes. So I'm here from the Word of God to declare to you today that regardless of what you and I think of ourselves, regardless of how we compare ourselves among ourselves, it really is a useless analysis if it is not congruent with what the Word of God declares. And we can say that we are good men, and perhaps relatively speaking, as men would judge one another, that may be fine. But in the presence of a holy God, it is a far different assessment. And in fact, the Savior, in describing how that we are by nature not righteous in His sight, says so plainly that a good tree brings forth good fruit. But He said an evil tree will bring forth evil fruit. And the passage before us says so specifically that as in Adam all died, it so specifically tells us that by one man sin entered into the world, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And our sinfulness this morning is not because we sin. Our sinfulness is because we are already by nature sinners. In other words, we sin because we're sinners. We don't become sinners because we sin. And because we are in such desperate need, because we are so far gone, there must be an outside source that deals with our case because we are not enabled to deal with it ourselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, he tells this. The Apostle Paul says in verse 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, hold fast the form of sound words. What does he say? He said there is a truth with regards to the facts of salvation that can be outlined, the form of sound words. That word actually means an outline. Yeah. There is a summation. There is a declaration. There is a specific delineation of truths that can be sat down and that we can analyze. And he said, hold fast to these sound words. And the word sound is actually saying, as much as we're averse to the thought of what sinners we are and how black we are, he said they're actually sound words. They're words that actually are helpful to us as far as living on this earth. And so what we're looking at this morning is not only truth, but it's truth that blesses. And so anyone that's in need this morning, regardless of what you think or I may think our need is, you need built up in your souls with something that will make you healthy or robust or strong, or are full of zeal to keep on living. And he says it's going to be these facts of the truths of salvation. And I want to be so broad as to say, no matter what you're going through, and I don't diminish what you're going through, but what we need to be enabled to go through it are the truths that are before us this morning. They will so cheer you, so encourage you, so enable you to face the difficulties of life. And so it's a blessing that the Apostle Paul points out these great truths. And so, he mentions in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, the thought of how we are to hold on to these things and take heed to them. He said, and continuing them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Right.
In your mind this morning, do you have someone that you know's in need?
Yeah.
Well, I can name some in my mind. Some that are at home in the church, some that are in family. There may be relational problems. There may be physical health problems. There may be financial problems. And of course, the problem of those who are convicted of their sins. And how do you try to help them, or how do you try to help yourselves in the very same situations? Do we turn first to the truths of this book? Or do we first turn, and there's a place for medication? I've turned to medication myself and been very blessed by it. But is that the only source? Friends, we turn to friends, and what a blessing it is. You've heard perhaps the story of the member who was so downcast and depressed, and he kept calling the pastor and saying, I need to come in and talk to you. And the pastor, maybe they'd set up a time, and then he couldn't get there. And so they'd set up another time, and then maybe the pastor couldn't get there. And the time went on and on, and they couldn't find a time to sit down together. And finally, one time the pastor said, this day is terribly busy, but come and go with me today. And what they did was visit this person and that shut-in and the hospital on another occasion. And when the day was over, the person that thought they needed such great counsel just felt good.
Yeah.
So there's a place for fellowship, isn't there?
Yeah.
That's all that proved. There's a place for medication. There's a place for fellowship. There's a place to help someone financially. Truly, people are in need, and we care for others. And it's the very, really, epitome of what Christianity may be. But we're looking at what Paul has declared is healthy to us and will actually save us or deliver us from the depressions and discouragements and heartaches and guilt of our own conscience.
Right.
And he said, take heed to these things. What's he mean? He's saying, live by this.
Yeah.
Let it be the first thing. You know, it's a sad thing, but at the end of every newscast, I've never heard them say, you know, after this murder and this stock has gone sour and all of that, never do I hear anyone say, but nevertheless, God is still on His throne and all His children will reach heaven. I mean, that would really change the newscast, wouldn't it? That would totally give you reason to keep going. Well, that's what this is. Put the newscast aside and take this final analysis of the truths of the doctrine of grace and let them settle into your soul. For instance, in 2 Timothy, he speaks concerning these blessed truths. Here's the diamond. Here's the blessing of your soul. He said, in meekness, a servant of God. I'm in the last two verses of chapter 2 in 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Every one of us this morning, in some area of our heart and mind, have a stronghold that is captivated us. And we are in the bars of the prison of our own thinking. And it has restricted us from the freedom and the joy of who we are in the sight of God. And it keeps us from the joys as we wear this clothing that's been given us by the prison system or by Satan himself. And so this morning, in your own minds, we often are in this stronghold of our own imagination that I'm a no good, I can't get it together, and everything's gone sour in my life. And what he's declaring to us is a truth of who we are in Christ and not who we are in ourselves. And that is what we need when medication doesn't work, when fellowship doesn't work, when financial help doesn't work, there still is help. You see, that's what we need, is the help that comes from no other source of help. And so if financial difficulty is in your path, relational problems or medical difficulties, friends, that's not the end of the world. I'm saying it makes things hard in the world. I know that. I'm not diminishing that. But it's not the end of the world. There still is sound blessing. There still is truth to encourage. There still is God ruling on His throne. And so it's not society's norms that we need. It's what the Lord declares by His doctrine. And so we turn to these thoughts. And first of all, just notice the description of who we are. And this perhaps can be a little tedious, but it's extremely, extremely helpful and absolutely necessary. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Is he saying that when we sin individually, that is when we become sinners, and consequently, death is charged to us? Now, if that's the case, follow me closely. If that's the case, he says in this passage, verse 14, that whatever we're going to declare about Adam, in a mirror image, by analogy, is the same way that righteousness comes our way. So if we become sinners by sinning, and if by sinning we are then charged with death, then it must be that we become righteous by living righteously, and therefore we become justified in the sight of God because we've lived righteously and we're not under condemnation. And friends, that is not what Paul is saying. And that is never health to the soul. That is never encouraging. That is never undergirding. And yet functionally, that's often the way we're living. If you speak out of turn, or I do, if, I mean, friends, this happened so often. Many, 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 many years ago, a brother's house burned. This is in the house of God. And around the corners and in the shadows, you could hear people asking, wonder what he did. Friends, we must be so careful to make a direct analysis between sin, I'm talking about among men, and the consequences of sin. Who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born with? Friends, we cannot make that direct correlation. That is more karma than biblical truth.
Yeah, amen.
That there's an exact correlation.
Right.
But with the Lord, there was an exact correlation between Adam's sin and the consequences of Adam's sin,
yeah,
as was pointed out last night at the Bible study with the preachers. When Adam sinned, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. He's saying all sinned when Adam sinned, in Adam's sin, and they were charged guilty because of Adam's sin.
Right.
There is a sense this morning, my friends, that if we never sinned, now this is how bad it is. Can you swallow this? I think you can. That if we never sinned, of course that's not possible, but we're just reasoning now. If it was possible that we never sinned, we are still charged as sinners.
Yes, that's right.
Because of Adam.
That's right. Yes,
that's right.
Yes,
that's why.
Seeing ourselves as we are, so we'll love Him for what He's done.
Amen.
Now friends, when you see yourself lost and ruined, so lost and ruined that our case is not just what I've done, but it's the fact that I am charged as a sinner because of what Adam did, the case becomes not only just dark, but impossible. But that is a blessed truth. He goes on to because in the exact opposite way, we become righteous in what Christ has done, even when we don't deserve it because we are not righteous. Oh, isn't it a glorious truth? Can it be? Do you know this morning that what you and I need more than anything else to start with is not to behave better, but to believe better?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know that if we believe better, more thoroughly, deeply, broadly, and biblically, that we actually will behave better because of the thanksgiving that's in our heart? And to realize that there's nothing we can do to recover ourselves from sin is actually the greatest motive to living for righteousness' sake. And that's what he's declaring here. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Why under heaven's shining sun were people being charged with sin when the law was not yet written? It was not delineated that it was a specific sin. Why under heaven's shining sun was God righteous to charge them with sin?
Right.
And that they were to die because they had sinned in Adam.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why. And so death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. But then this glorious truth, this phenomenal fragment of a sentence, this shining, if you will, locomotive headlight comes in and gives us reason for hope, because he says, who is the figure of him that was to come? And then for the next five verses, five times, once in every verse, he tells us how the trespass that was committed by Adam and that was charged to all of us is negated for God's own because of the obedience of one that was charged to all of the elect. And friends, there is the glorious truth this morning. What gets you out of a bed in the morning? I can tell you the first thoughts that come my way every morning. I wish it was not so, but it is. The first thing every morning, I'm depressed. The first thing every morning, the world is dark. The first thing every morning, it's like, why am I even on this planet? The first thing every day is I failed yesterday. I'm going to fail today. There's no reason to go on. Why does she still live with me? Why do the kids send Father's Day cards? Why do I still pastor a church? I am a no good, undone, should have been put on the backside of the planet and forgotten forever. Then, something else happens.
Yeah.
And I begin to think of the glorious truths that are written here. And it's the only way to turn, friends, the darkness to the light of day. The sun's coming up in reality, but I need it theologically, you see. I need it spiritually. I need it deeply. I need to know again that He died for me and that my righteousness is in what Christ has done for me and not what I have done for myself. So He says, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. What's He saying? He says it's exactly the same as Adam, but it's exactly the opposite.
Right.
It's exactly the same, but it's exactly opposite.
Yeah.
He says, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. It's by one man. It's not by this man. It's not by my natural father and what he did for me.
Yeah.
It's not how my children made. Do you know I live and die in my children?
Yeah.
I do. I live and die on what the church members think of my wife, right? I mean, it affects us, right? If your boss says you're not quite measuring up, your review didn't come out quite like it should have, we'll see what the next 3 months bring. Does that really encourage you? Friends, we're all the time judging ourselves about whether we're righteous, or whether we're wrong or condemned. You see, that's what we're thinking, whether we realize it or not. We're thinking theologically every single moment, whether we realize it or not. Every time I'm judging myself as not measuring up, I'm actually admitting there's a God in heaven and I don't fit His holiness.
Right.
And it's working into every aspect of my life. And so it must be that on every occasion when sin, or the awareness that I don't measure up, comes my way, the truth of the gospel is declared. How many of y'all would love to be called to preach? I'm even going to let the sisters answer this. Say, oh, Brother Dickie, you were really in trouble. I know it. But you all need to preach to yourselves, even the sisters.
Amen.
You need to take these truths into your heart.
Right.
When the cake falls and the bread burns and the dust blows in and you think, what's the use of this life? Think theologically.
Amen.
Think truthfully. Think spiritually. Friends, this is our meat, day in and day out. Not as the offense, so is the free gift. If through the offense of one many were made dead, many rather be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And so you preach to yourself and you say, but in the sight of God, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, though my life proves that I am a sinner, it's the fact that I've been made righteous, though I continue to sin. I am righteous in what He has done for me, and I do measure up.
Yeah.
Friends, when the grade school child was speaking about her grade to her parents. And she said, it's just not what I wanted it to be. It's not what it even should have been. But then the parent said, but in my eyes, but in my eyes, your grade makes no difference. And the child is encouraged. You are children of the Heavenly Father. He has loved you in spite of what others think or you think of yourself.
Right.
of yourselves. I remember so plainly, and it's a crazy example, and if you were members at Oak Hill, you'd hear it, I don't know, however often I can get by with saying it. But Hauptgewachs is German, right? In case any of you didn't know. So we were supposed to have polkas and all that kind of stuff, right? And you know, I was supposed to learn to play the accordion, right? Okay, I'm about this tall and the accordion, you know, hangs down to my ankles, right? And so the talent show comes up at the school, right? And so I'm supposed to play the accordion, right? It was awful. I mean, I couldn't hit the notes. Nothing was good about this experience. But at the moment I thought the stage should open up and swallow me forever, I looked out and there were two people just smiling from ear to ear. Yeah, you know who it was. It was my parents. Now, admitted, they were a little ticked, you know. But it shows the love of God. He's loved us with an everlasting love. He loved us before time, gave us, the elect, to Christ. And it, so he says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. So the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. And friends, this is solid doctrinal, foundational truth, but it has daily implications. It has even emotional applications. He said, you reign in life. And I know that's literal. It's heaven, it's forever, it's righteousness. But there's a sense in which it reverberates into your daily life. Are you reigning in life by yourself or by one?
Right, man.
By the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, he says, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Friends, don't let these truths get old. Have you heard it said, well, they preach too much grace? If you think too much grace is being preached, it's because you're not getting your sin big enough yet.
Right,
so you don't
right,
see
right,
Christ right. yet large enough.
Right.
Because friends, the more black you see and I see of myself, the more I need the truths
right.
of this passage. And so what are we speaking about? We're talking about a covenant relationship, an absolute truth, that which was done legally, not only sadly in what took place in Adam, but what actually took place legally in what Christ accomplished in our behalf.
Yeah, right.
And in Isaiah 9 and 6, it says the government's on his shoulder.
Yeah.
If the government is still on your shoulder, if you're trying to work all this out, if you think you're the Supreme Court, friends, you're in as bad shape as perhaps we are even in this nation. You cannot make judgment on yourself. It's the Lord that makes the judgment. And so he declares so plainly in Isaiah, for instance, chapter 42, where he speaks of our Savior. And he said, the Lord, speaking of Christ, I've called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. The Lord gave Christ to be the covenant head for the elect of God, and it's through what He has done, we've read to you over and over and over and over again. That's four overs. And there's another one we haven't read yet in verse 19. But every time it's one man sinned, one man was obedient. One man condemned us, one man justified us. It's an exact, again, parallel, but it's or exact mirror, but it's exactly opposite. Rest in what Christ has done. So, you know the passages so well. I'm not saying anything new, but let it rest. Let it seep into your soul. May the Holy Spirit bless it to reach the depths of our soul. He hath made Him. This is legal language. He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We have been made righteous. In the sight of God, you are holy. God looks upon you in love and not in condemnation. I need to know that every day, and you need to know it. And friends, your children need to know it. Your grandchildren need to know this. They may need a new pair of sneakers, but they need this more than anything else. When they're down, when they're out, when I can remember so well a young child coming, she had just entered the sixth grade and the in a new school, and her peers said, "We wish you weren't here. You dress funny. We wish you were dead." Literally. The last day of school, she received the note that was shown to her pastor, "We hope you never come back." Well, there may be a lot of ways to deal with that. But I know one way, if the Holy Spirit blesses it, that will cheer and encourage. Certainly the child needs the love of the parents. Certainly the child needs surrounded by siblings that care. But friends, I can tell you what comforted this child. And that's the truths I'm speaking to you about today. She endured the summer thinking of who the Lord was to her and what He had accomplished for her. Hebrews chapter 2 is so plain, so uplifting, so wonderful. We see Jesus. We see the declaration of Christ. That's what we've been noticing. Here we see the condescension of Christ. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Has anyone ever cared for you? Are you really loved? We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man, for all of the elect. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You are made perfect in what Christ has accomplished. And so there's the declaration of Christ we've been studying about. Here's His condescension to do His work for us. But then there's the cry of accomplishment, isn't that? What was accomplished on the cross?
Right.
It is finished.
Yeah. Amen.
It is finished. Your righteousness is finished in Christ.
Amen.
You are His. You wonder what America needs? You wonder what you need. You wonder what your families need. You wonder what the community needs. This is what they need.
Right.
Beg the God of heaven to get it in our own souls to the degree. That's what we desire to visit with others about.
Right.
And declare it to such an extent that, friends, it is that which even psychologically and emotionally affects us to the glory of God and the glory of and the blessing of each of us. I thank you for the time. Brother Jesse, come ahead.
Oh,